you ever been persecuted? It's not just about what we believe, it's about who we are. People persecute us when we're different. When I was a kid, I was short and dumpy and terrible at sport, but I played musical instruments and I was the smartest kid in the class. You can imagine, right? So why did Jesus say that the persecuted would be blessed? What was he thinking there? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to take a look at this whole persecution thing from a different perspective. And listen, stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about a special resource that I'd love to send you to help you lay hold of the mighty blessing, the abundant blessing that God has ready and waiting for your life. We have our ideas of what life is meant to be like, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. And can I tell you, so often I listen to what Jesus has to say, and right out of the blocks, first up, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, Jesus, Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice, be glad, because your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who went before you. Of all his statements about who would be blessed in this famous Sermon on the Mount, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, the ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, I've got to tell you, this is the hardest one to fathom, by a country mile. More Christians were martyred for their faith in the 20th century than in the whole 19 centuries leading up to that put together. What is this blessed other persecuted all about? Is it religious extremism of the sort that has terrorists flying planes into towers? Or is it something entirely different? We're going to do something a bit different today on the program. I'm going to read you a story, a true story, of the martyrdom of a man by the name of Polycarp in AD 156. It's taken from an eyewitness account. I don't have any comment whatsoever to make about it. But as I read you this powerful, powerful story, I want you to ask yourself, was Jesus right? Was Polycarp cursed or was he blessed? Here's his story. Polycarp was the bishop of Smyrna on the west coast of what is today Turkey, part of the generation of church leaders who succeeded the apostles. Now, Christians were being persecuted and executed, and a search party was sent out for this bishop, and finally they found him in a farmhouse. Now, he could have escaped to another place, but he decided to stay. God's will be done, he said. When Polycarp heard the police were there, he went downstairs and he talked with them. Now, everyone was amazed at his courage and his age, and they wondered why there should be so much haste about arresting an old man like this. Despite the lateness of the hour, he'd set a table for them to eat and to drink as much as they desired. He asked them to give him an hour to pray undisturbed, and they agreed. So Polycarp stood and prayed out loud. He was so filled with the grace of God that for 2 hours he couldn't be silent. Those who were listening to him were astounded, and many were sorry that they'd come to arrest such a venerable old man. When Polycarp had finally finished his prayer, after remembering everyone who'd ever crossed his path, both small and great, high and low, and the whole church throughout the known world, the time came for him to leave. They set him on an ass and led him into the city. Now, the chief of police named Herod and his father Nicetas met Polycarp there and took him into their carriage, sitting beside him. They tried to persuade him to change his mind. What harm is there in saying Lord Caesar and offering sacrifice and saving yourself from death? Come on, save yourself. At first, Polycarp didn't answer them. But when they kept at it, he said, I am not going to do what you advise. Then they gave up trying to persuade him and they began to make threats. They forced him out of the carriage so fast that he scraped his shin getting out. Without even turning around, as though he'd felt nothing, Polycarp walked on quickly and was taken into the noisy stadium. As he entered, a voice from heaven came to him. Be strong, Polycarp, and act like a man. Now, no one saw the speaker, but our friends who were there heard the voice. Polycarp was brought before the proconsul, who also tried to persuade him to deny his faith. Come on, respect your age, he said. Swear by the divine power of Caesar. Change your mind. Say away with the atheists. Polycarp, with a solemn look at the unruly mob in the stadium, pointed to them and, looking up to heaven, said, away with the atheists. The proconsul urged him harder, take the oath and I'll let you go. Just curse Christ. And Polycarp said, 86 years have I served him, and he never did me any wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who has saved me? When the proconsul kept insisting, "Swear by the divine power of Caesar," Polycarp answered, "If you vainly suppose that I will swear by the divine power of Caesar, as you say, and if you pretend that you do not know who I am, listen plainly. I am a Christian, and if you wish to learn the Christian message, arrange a meeting and give me a hearing." "I have wild animals," said the proconsul. I'll throw you to them unless you change your mind." And Polycarp replied, "Call them, for we are not allowed to change from something better to something worse." "Scorn the wild beasts, and I will have you burned alive if you don't change your mind," said the proconsul. And Polycarp said, "You threaten with fire that burns for a short time and soon it's quenched. You don't know about the fire of the coming judgment and the eternal punishment that awaits the wicked. But why are you waiting? Come, do what you will." Polycarp radiated courage and joy as he said these and many other things. Not only did his face show no sign of distress, it was so full of grace that the proconsul was astonished and sent his herald into the middle of the arena three times to announce, "Polycarp has declared that he is a Christian." At the herald's announcement, the whole crowd roared with wild anger and a loud cry, "This is the father of Christians, the destroyer of our gods, who teaches many to stop offering sacrifices to the gods." Shouting with one voice, they demanded that Polycarp be burnt alive. It happened incredibly quickly, faster than it takes to tell the story, in fact. The mob hurried to gather firewood and kindling from the bathhouses and the shops. When the pyre was ready, Polycarp took off his outer clothes, unfastened his belt, and tried to take off his shoes. Immediately, they began to pile wood around him. They were going to nail him to the stake as well. But Polycarp said, "Look, leave me the way I am. He who gives me power to endure the fire will also help me to remain in the flames without moving, even without being secured by nails." So Polycarp put his hands behind him. He was bound like a noble ram out of a great flock for sacrifice, a burnt offering prepared and pleasing to God. Looking up to heaven, he prayed an awesome prayer glorifying God. When he said the Amen and finished his prayer, the men in charge of the fire lit it, and a great flame blazed up. We who were given the privilege to witness it saw a great miracle, and we've been kept alive so that we might report it to others. The fire took the shape of a vaulted room, like a ship's sail filled with wind, and surrounded the body of the martyr like a wall. And he stood inside it, not as burning flesh, but as bread that was being baked, or as gold and silver being refined in a furnace. And we smelled the fragrant aroma, like the scent of incense or other costly spices. Seeing that his body could not be consumed by the fire, the lawless men finally commanded an executioner to go up and to stab Polycarp with a dagger. And so Polycarp died a martyr. And that's the story as it's recorded. Let me come back to what Jesus said, that difficult saying, and ask you now what you think about it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. "Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice, be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you." What a story. I mean, what an amazing story. This is a true story. It's a story given by people who were there and who saw what was happening. I'm going to ask you again. When you listen to Jesus' words, when you hear Polycarp's story, what do you think? Was Polycarp blessed? Or was he cursed? I mean, no one would wish that sort of a death on anyone. But in the middle of that place, when Jesus was with him, when God was giving him strength, was he blessed or was he cursed? You choose. You decide. God is a God who wants to bless you, who wants to pour his extravagant grace out on you, to give you a new life, however impossible that might seem, given the things you have going on in your life just at the moment. And that's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called God's Abundant Blessing, and it's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you actually lay hold of His mighty blessing and His extravagant grace. To request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com, and you'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.